What a weird week for January 26, 2024.
Hi, everybody, it's weird.
This is like crazy being here.
Really weird, weird tales.
Well, I got a great show for you today with some wonderful weird stuff.
Hi, friends, I'm Scott, and this is What a Weird Week, where you can get caught up on the weird news of the week. For audio or video or show notes, see shownotes.page, shownotes.page. Here's Season 5, Episode 3, first published Friday, January 26, 2024.
10.
Domino's Pizza Heat Suit utilizes pizza delivery bag technology to spread warmth. All right, this one, if you can't click the picture, we have this in the show notes, but I'll describe it for you. A blue and red snowsuit that sort of looks like a fitted sleeping bag with built-in mittens does not look as fashionable as it does warm. Wear this and you'll be mistaken for a Teletubby who has taken a pizza delivery job. One of the quotes from the article, it has a handy front pocket to store your garlic and herb dip. It does look warm, I'll give you that much. If you live in a cold place, this would be warm. If you live in a warm place, this would be maybe some sort of torture suit. According to the Daily Mail article, the suit keeps things warm for hours. They say the pizza bag suit is in testing phase right now. After that, no idea how much it will cost or where you could buy it. It's kind of to be continued. This could be one of those things where they make a few of them, put them online, and then they sell out instantly. And congratulations, marketing department.
9.
Chinese marathoner disqualified for chain smoking through the entire race. The fellow's name is Uncle Chen. That's what he's referred to in all the articles. Uncle Chen is 52, finished the race in 3 hours and 33 minutes. The winning time was 2:06 something. This was at the, I'm going to get it wrong, I'm going to try anyway. What the heck, you guys? It's a new year. Here we go. This was at the Xiaomen Marathon. Tens of thousands of runners take part in this marathon. It's the first big marathon of the season. Official ruling was disqualification for smoking on the track. There are photos, photographic evidence. Click the show notes. I'm not a scientist there, but I think the science has come back on smoking. I'm pretty sure, eh, you guys? It's bad for you. Running a marathon while smoking, what would that do to you? I mean, you have to be in pretty good shape to run a marathon in 3 hours and change. But then there's the smoking. Does one balance out the other? No, that's bananas. Hold on. I'm going to leave it up to science to figure out Uncle Chen. This is What a Weird Week. Thanks for checking out the show.
8.
Chicago Rat Hole is like a phoenix from the ashes. In case you missed it, we had Chicago Rat Hole coverage last week. It's a hole in the sidewalk on Roscoe Street in Chicago. The rat hole has united the good folks of Chicago, it seems. There were social media posts and an increase in tourism. I'm pretty sure, citation needed, but seemed like an awful lot of people were visiting the Chicago Rat Hole neighborhood. Since then, somebody tried to fill in or pave over the rat hole. Luckily, the act of vandalism was discovered before the plaster had hardened and the Chicago rat hole was restored to its original greatness. Hashtag return of the rat hole. If you missed the whole saga, last week's episode is still online, you guys. You can always check out the previous shows. Is shameless plug? Is this a shameless plug? Am I riding on the rat hole's coattails? Anyway, you can always get our podcast stuff at shownotes.page.
7.
Stanley mugs, why and how much? In case you missed it, Stanley brand tumblers or coffee cups or whatever you call them, they're very trendy right now. If you didn't notice that, trust me, very popular. And you could get into why Stanley has been around, the company's been around a long time, but you could get into why, like do a deep dive into how this all happened, why everybody wants a Stanley mug. But I will just sum it up in saying very serious marketing efforts have worked. Marketed well, everybody wants them. And by the way, around here, if I say Stanley Cup, a lot of the articles refer to them as Stanley Cups. If I say Stanley Cup, it's going to be a 15-minute conversation about hockey where I live. So I'm going to try to refer to them as Stanley Tumblers or something just for clarity. Here's the story. A 23-year-old lady from California is in the news this week after getting arrested for allegedly stealing $2,500 worth of Stanleys. This one's kind of brazen, you guys. Roseville police, Roseville, California, were called to a store after employees say a lady filled her cart with Stanleys and then just refused to pay. She just put them in her vehicle and took off. Police later pulled her over, found 65 Stanley products worth around $2,500 in that vehicle. The police quote from the article, "While Stanley quenchers are all the rage, we strongly advise against turning to crime to fulfill your hydration habits." Caught up in the week's weird news with the What a Weird Week show.
Six.
For sale. Winston Churchill's false teeth. In case you missed it, Winston Churchill was Prime Minister of Britain during World War II. Sometimes to deliver certain speeches, he would wear a specific set of false teeth. And now you can buy those false teeth. They expect that the teeth will go for around 14,000 Canadian, maybe like 10 grand US, somewhere in that range. They'll get auctioned off on February the 6th. They say Churchill used to carry around two sets of false teeth in case he had to pop those in and make a rousing speech. The article also says that when Churchill got angry, he would throw his teeth across the room. I'm not an anger management expert, but I would say not recommended.
Five.
The swearing parrots of Lincolnshire Wildlife Park. A few years ago, a wildlife park in England received a donation of five African gray parrots. They happened to swear a lot. They had kept the swearing parrots isolated so that they wouldn't spread their swearing ways to some of the other birds. Hopefully, they would start getting back to non-swearing, the non-swearing ways of the parrot. Well, the wildlife park has gotten three more swearing birds donated. What is the deal with donating swearing birds? I guess I've read before that parrots, a lot of times they are handed down from one generation to the next because they live so long. And, I mean, once you teach them to swear, who wants to stop swearing? It's so fun, right? Anyway, the new swearing birds donated, Eric, Sheila, and Captain. It was decided after they got these new three that all the swearing birds should be moved back into the gen pop, and they're going to see what happens. So you got the five original swearies. You got Eric, Sheila, and Captain swearing. They're moving in with the other birds. How sweary are the birds, by the way? When the park folks went to move them, the quote from the article is, "The language that came out of their carrying boxes was phenomenal. Really bad. Not normal swear words. These were proper expletives." So now they've got all eight birds, swear birds, in with 90-something non-swearing birds, and fingers crossed, they've installed big old signs warning people that the parrots are sweary. So far, no complaints. The park actually says that they hear more customers swearing at the parrots. I don't know if that's nice. Go to the zoo and swear at the animals? But I think, you know, they are kind of infamous for swearing, and people try to get them going. So people are swearing at the parrots a lot more than the parrots are swearing at customers. Catching you up on the weird news of the week, this is What a Weird Week.
Four.
This one might be controversial. I was a bit shocked by it. It's a bit sciencey, so I'm going to try to get through it here. Study indicates that food grown in urban gardens has a much bigger carbon footprint than traditional farms or sources. That's weird, right? You know those neighborhood gardens that pop up at the community center or at the kids' school? Somehow they're worse for the environment. Well, they generate six times more greenhouse gas than a conventional farm that grows similar stuff. How is that even possible that a little garden plot growing beans next to the Y parking lot is worse than Farmer Clem's big old bean farm? There's a couple of things going on. First, though, we should say urban farms have other benefits. It's not like they're terrible. I mean, we all probably feel like they're not terrible. They give people a chance to socialize. That's good for us. Urban farms give some people easier access to fresh grown fruit and veg. That can't be bad. A lot of times urban farms, better use of the land. You know, it used to be a junkyard. Now it's an urban farm. That seems good, right? But here is why those urban gardens are worse for greenhouse gases. Partly, it has to do with the stuff that we use to construct the urban garden. The actual material that we got to source to make those garden beds and stuff. And based on this research paper, they say your average urban garden might only be around for a few years, maybe up to a decade. But a commercial farm can be around a lot longer, produce much bigger crops. So it's way more efficient, greenhouse gas-wise, to have a big farm. So to make urban farming better, could try to build them to last longer. The article says raised garden beds would be a start. The ones on the ground don't last as long. Raise them up, they'll last longer. The longer the urban garden can last, the more chance it has to undo the initial greenhouse gas impact. They have a lot of suggestions in the article. Also, the paper indicates that certain foods are better. A better carbon footprint, like urban farm tomatoes, had a lower carbon footprint than greenhouse tomatoes. So tomatoes, nothing but tomatoes. Every urban farm, every community garden, tomatoes. Me paraphrasing an article that paraphrased a scientific paper. So please click the link, do the deep dive if you want more info. Who would have thunk that, right, you guys?
Three.
Community gardens.
Three.
The plane that had a landing wheel come off just before takeoff. Just to recap the planes in the news, we've had a plane door flying off in the news. We also had that plane with the missing bolts that got noticed by a passenger, which... would you have noticed? I don't think I would have noticed. I would have looked out the window and been like, eh, seems normal to me. Thank heavens the right person saw that there were missing bolts and raised the alarm. Well, now a plane that loses a landing wheel on the runway before takeoff. This was a Boeing 757 plane in Atlanta last weekend. The quote from CNN is, "The nose wheel came off and rolled down the hill. No injuries." That's pretty much the story. Not fun to think about, parts falling off of planes. So in the show notes, I'm going to put a link to this story, but also to a resource about lessening your flying anxiety. Remember when we used to complain that there was a long lineup at security? Those were the good days, you guys. Okay, here's the soundbite from the Philip DeFranco show.
Delta 982, this is the aircraft looking at you. One of your nose tires just came off. It just rolled off the runway behind you. Delta 982, tower, sounds like we've got a problem.
We're almost to the number one weird story of the week. This is the What a Weird Week show. Butter chicken lawsuit in the news. Two Indian restaurant chains in India are in a legal fight over who invented butter chicken. One restaurant chain filed a lawsuit against a rival because the first restaurant is laying claim to butter chicken. The claim is that their founder invented the dish in the 1930s. Both restaurant chains have butter chicken claims on their websites. Lawsuit is over 2,700 pages and seeks $240,000 in damages. I had no idea there was such butter chicken passion. And this seems like it could get nasty. I am by no means a lawyer, and I've only had butter chicken once. Did not agree with me. Wait, too much info? The accused restaurant has 4 weeks to file a response. So this one is to be continued. Honorable mention. Large cabbage in the news. I got this from HuffPost this week, but I see that it showed up on some sources a little bit sooner. Jenny, a lady in Louisiana, grew a monster 44-pound cabbage. Not a world record, a state record, but I was a bit surprised. 44 pounds is not a world record. The monster cabbage harvested in December And the Department of Agriculture did the measuring. It weighed 44.115 pounds and had a circumference of more than 7 feet. Jenny grew the beast cabbage from a seed. Seed planted in July. Jenny made casseroles and served it with ham. It's almost gone now, and Jenny is tired of eating cabbage. Also, just by the way, the world record cabbage, 138 pounds. We put a link if you want to check that one out, too. Hang on, the number one weird story of the week is next. This is What a Weird Week. Thanks for checking out the show.
One.
It's coming back. Love, heartbreak, bugs, the zoo. This story has everything. The San Antonio Zoo is bringing back their Valentine fundraiser. It has made this podcast before. It's a popular fundraiser now. The thing during Valentine's where you can pay them money, they name a cockroach after your lousy, stinking ex, and then that bug gets fed to a zoo animal. It's called Cry Me a Cockroach. Cry me a river of cockroaches. Maybe they should name it that. No, I'm sure they workshopped a few titles. The most requested ex names, by the way, David. David. Chris. Chris, how could you? Michael, Sarah, Amanda, and Emily. You broke my heart. This fundraiser has made, this is why it keeps coming back. It's sort of like fun, gets publicity or whatever, but it has made over $225,000 for the zoo since 2020. So if you're brainstorming ideas, keep in mind, spite-based promotions seem to make a lot of money. That's it. That's this week's What a Weird Week show. For show notes and more stuff, go to shownotes.page or search What a Weird Week wherever you get podcasts. Streamers, if you are tuned in live, thank you for doing that. Every weekend, we're one of the things you can hear on Funhouse Radio. Just ask your smart speaker to play Funhouse Radio or see the link on our show notes page. We'll see you next Friday for another countdown of weird news.